Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, Cook and Joe. Let's go right out to our Hall and Capitas fan hotline. This was originally going to be a cookie surprise. I had this one cooked up, so to speak, because we've gone every week, or almost every week, with people that Ron dearly loves from the profession, whether it's managers, athletes, whoever it might be. And then I thought, wait a second, I don't know if Ron loves this guy or even likes him, and I don't know if this guy likes Ron. So then I decided just to have him on as a regular guest. Mr. Bob Hertzel, he's been covering baseball for a million years. He writes in West Virginia. Bob, do you and Ron like each other? I think Ron said at least there's a grudging respect.
Oh, there's definitely a respect. I wouldn't even call it grudging. To be honest, we worked together on one of what I think was one of the great staffs of all time at the Pittsburgh Press. I mean, we had quite a group there from until the press folded.
Well, it's funny, Joe, that you mentioned that, because Hertzel and I were the two first hires at the Pittsburgh Press. Right, Bob? Is that your memory of it?
We were
the first two guys that were hired.
You mean by Russ Brown?
Yes.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's probably true. I mean, which showed his which showed the great wisdom the man has. When you think of it, though, you had me, we had Smythic, we had Clayton. I mean, we had Russ, Ernie DiGregorio. Who else was there? Rich Emmert. I mean, we really had, you know, a good group going out at that time. But man, there was a lot to write about, be it good or bad.
Not as much these days, Bob. Not as much these days.
Well, you know, I was thinking, Ron and Joe, we deserve some kind of award, us sports writers. I mean, and sports radio hosts or whatever. I mean, we've gone 3 months, every day, doing our thing, with nothing going on. I mean, it hasn't been a game since March.
Well, Joe, let me interrupt, ask the first question here, because Hertzel gets no sympathy for me. In the history of sports writing, I don't know that there's ever been one guy who had more stuff to write about. In Cincinnati, he covered Sparky Anderson and the Big Red Machine. In Pittsburgh, he covered Jim Leland. Bob, can you talk a little bit about what it was like to cover each one of those guys?
Well, I'll tell you what. They were, how do you put it? I mean, they were beyond being a class of their own. I mean, they were a lot alike in a lot of ways. Sparky, of course, was marvelous. I mean, you dealt with him, you know, you had an off day, and, you know, you got to come up with a story on an off day. Well, with Sparky, no problem at all. You walk in and said, "Sparky, I need something for the off day." And 20 minutes later, you walked out of there, and you not only had a story, but, I mean, it was interesting, it was good, it involved baseball history, and plus the fact that you didn't know what the hell he was talking about after the time, because he learned Casey Stengelese, so, you know, that was that. And, of course, Leland, I mean, well, you know what Leland was like. I mean, you know, Leland would be great to work with, but he'd also have some classic, you know, blow-ups and the likes, and when he had those, I mean, who could ask for more as a sports writer? But Jimmy really again, Jimmy was lucky that he had when he got there. I mean, when he got there, you know, that team was terrible. I mean, that team was among the worst Pirate teams of all time in 84, 85, and the likes. And he did his thing. He built it. He and Sid, I mean, you talk about being lucky to work with. Sid was fun to work with, too. Sid Thrift, I'm talking about. Because, you know, again, there was a guy, all you had to do was just take notes. I mean, he'd write your story for you.
Bob Hertzel, longtime baseball writer, now writes West Virginia sports for the most part. Bob, were you there by any chance the day that Doc Ellis decided he would peg a bunch of Reds?
I was there. I was there writing for Cincinnati then, and it was kind of one of the more amazing things I think that anybody has ever seen. He had made his mind up, obviously. As a matter of fact, Doc, for someone who we all know the problems he had around those times. I mean, I don't necessarily believe he pitched a no-hitter on LSD, but if you said he was on something, I do believe that. He was also maced in Cincinnati trying to get in a ballpark because they asked him to show an ID. He and Willie Stargell, and he got put in cuffs and taken away from the ballpark. He was which All-Star game was the one in Detroit? 72, I guess it was, maybe. Sparky was the National League All-Star manager. The American League had named Vita Blue to start there. And Doc wanted to start the All-Star game. And, of course, Doc said, man, he ain't gonna start no brother against brother. I mean, that's not going to happen. And, he just backed Sparky into a corner where he literally had to start him. And, of course, Doc probably was sorry after Reggie hit that ball up on the roof in Detroit, the longest home run I've ever seen. And that includes some of the Stargell and Bench and Mays and Nick McCovey hit. I mean, that was the hardest hit ball I ever saw.
Bob, would you say you covered that big red machine? Was that the greatest team of our lifetime? I'm not going back to the 27 Yankees. You're pretty close to the 27 Yankees. I'm not nearly as old as you, but of our lifetime, with that big red machine, 75, 76, the best you've ever seen?
Yeah, I mean, I can't. If anybody would say that they were, I certainly couldn't argue with them. I mean, think about that team for a minute. You had the greatest catcher of all time, and Johnny Bench. You had Pete Rose, the all-time hit leader, who should be in the Hall of Fame, but whether he was or wasn't. You got Tony Perez, who was the greatest RBI man in the Reds history and probably the best clutch hitter, you know, in that era. I mean, Dave Bristol used to say, and this was before the 75 team, if the game goes long enough, Tony Perez will find a way to win it. You had Joe Morgan, who won two MVPs back-to-back in those years. David Concepcion, until Ozzie Smith came along, was the best shortstop in the National League. And there's another guy that you know, you could make a case for the Hall of Fame. And you had an outfield on that team of George Foster, Cesar Geronimo, who won a bunch of gold gloves and was, you know, the perfect center fielder for that team, and Ken Griffey, the wrong Ken Griffey, but Ken the father could really play too. I mean, and then what Sparky had, Sparky was way ahead of his time, and I give him the nickname Captain Hook because he really kind of invented. I mean, guys had messed around with using their bullpens before him, but Sparky took Don Gullett, Jack Billingham, Jim Merritt. Used Wayne Granger, McEnany, Bourbonne, Eastwick. I mean, they had the deepest bullpen you'll ever see. They had four or five guys that could have been closers coming out of that bullpen. I mean, there wasn't a way of doing it. I'll tell you what, everybody talks about the 75 and 76 team. In 1970, the Cincinnati Reds, that was the team before they made the Morgan trade, which, by the way, in my infinite wisdom, I ripped mercilessly. I mean, because I'm showing how much expertise I have. At that time, they had Lee May at first, Perez at third base, Tommy Helms at second, and these guys have been together for years and years. And that's that 1970 team won 70 of its first 100 games, mashed the ball all over the place. I mean, they were they were they They were absolutely an amazing team. Then they got a bunch of pitching injuries, and by the World Series, they just had no pitches to pitch and got beat by Baltimore and Brooks Robinson in that World Series. But that 70 team was damn near as good, if not as good, as those 75 and 76 teams.
Bob, I'll leave you on this one. What was day-to-day life like with Pete Rose? That's the first part of it. And the second part, what do you make of these latest accusations that he had his bat corked when he played?
Oh, I mean, anything you told me about Pete, I'd believe, because Pete would do anything to win a game or get a hit. I mean, he really would. I mean, it was I've never seen anybody in any profession so determined and dedicated, I guess, to becoming to winning, you know, to becoming successful. And so if you said that he had it, I mean, I don't know that he had it corked. But Pete, I mean, day to day with Pete, again, Pete and Sparky were perfect. I mean, you know, again, you just, the game ends. I don't care what happened or whatever. Your first stop was always Pete Rose. He'd have something to say to you. I mean, I hung with him quite a bit, to be honest. We were pretty good friends because we both liked the racetrack, and we'd go to the racetrack a lot and together. And you know, I do believe. I mean, in all seriousness, I do believe that he should be in the Hall of Fame in some way, shape, or form. And by some way, shape, or form, I mean that even if they have to put on his plaque that he was banished from the game because of his gambling as a manager, that as a player, I mean, he was a Hall of Fame player. A lot of people disagree with me, obviously, but you know, and certainly they have their right to be wrong.
Joe, let me finish up with one thing. We would be remiss to ask you, Bob. I tell you, you're lucky to work with Sparky and Jim Leland. How about in West Virginia? You have Huggins, who's a great friend of our show. You had Hogerson, who always looked like he was either going to the bar or coming from the bar. What was it like with Huggins and Hogerson?
Well, Huggs is one of the greatest guys I've ever dealt with, and he surprised me. I mean, I kind of bought in, even though, you know, I kind of bought into what I read about him, and you know, the when he was at Cincinnati, that, you know, he wasn't graduating players, they said, and this, that, and the other thing. Well, right now their basketball team has the highest GPA in the Big 12. He graduated all his players last year, the year before, and I think the year before that. Plus the fact, he, as you know, Ronnie, he's such a great storyteller. And he doesn't mince words. He'll say something that means something. I mean, some of his stories get a little old, like his rearview mirror story. but by the same token, now Dana. I mean, Dana. I never really dealt with Dana. I mean, Dana was. I didn't really have a relationship with him. It was mostly press conference stuff, and which is what sports was becoming before this pandemic. Now, I mean, you know, it's so different now. It's not near as much fun. I keep telling myself it's because I'm old and the players are young, but you know, going into a baseball locker room, it's not like it used to be where you go in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, hang around, talk to guys, talk to the manager. Hell, I remember sitting there with Whitey Herzog at 2 o'clock in the afternoon while he was sitting there in his underwear, chewing tobacco and drawing lines on paper, the same stuff that they say analytics do now. He would draw where people hit the ball, and you know, he was way ahead of his time. I mean, but I mean, yeah, that's how it was. You could come in and sit and talk to people and develop a relationship with them. Now it's just not that way anymore.
Bob, this was a treat. Thank you for joining us. We'll have to do it again.
If we never start playing again, I'm always available.
Ron, would you like to say
goodbye? See you, Bob, and watch out for those trucks overturning on 79 coming up to Pittsburgh.
I don't come up anymore. I mean, I've gotten too damn old for that.
I'll agree with that. You are too damn old.
Well, I still love you, Ronnie.
See you, Bob.
Talk to you guys.
There he goes. Bob Hertzel.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.